Kephart Communications Podcast is hosted by School District of Washington Superintendent Dr. Jennifer Kephart. With help from our team in the Washington High School CAPS program, Dr. Kephart and her guests share information ranging from district happenings, current events, and student experiences to keep listeners informed about the School District of Washington. If you are a parent, district employee, or community member, this podcast is for you. Let's welcome Dr. Kephart and her guest, Mrs. Rachel Wilcox, to share more about the interventions in our schools through the multi-tiered system of support.
Thank you, Taylor, for the introduction, and thank you to Mrs. Wilcox for being back in the CAP studio today. She was our guest from our last episode as well, and she is joining us again today to talk about interventions and multi-tiered systems of support. And for those of you that didn't get a chance to listen to the October podcast, Mrs. Wilcox is joining us in the district as the Director of Social Emotional Learning and has done some amazing work this year and last year with our multi-tiered system of support framework and work with our teachers to build that framework of support for our students. This is her going into her second year in the district. She and I started at the same time in this district. So welcome to the podcast studio again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It was such a great time last time. I'm just glad to do it again.
Well, we appreciate the information from both character education last time and multi-tiered systems of support today. So let's start there. As a school district, we tend to use the acronym MTSS, but for our listeners, for our parents, in talking about multi-tiered systems of support or interventions, can you tell us a little bit more of what MTSS is, means, and looks like in our schools?
Yeah, that's a great question because as educators, we like to throw around acronyms a
we
lot.
Do. We do.
So when we start talking about a new acronym, we oftentimes automatically think it's completely new. And really, MTSS builds upon a framework that already existed, which was this response to intervention. And so the shift is that MTSS accounts for a whole child view. Not only are we looking at the silos of academics or behaviors, we're looking at how they work together. So it's really a whole child framework. And what an MTSS structure does for our district is allows us to have conversations really centered around what each individual child needs. And using the framework coupled with data and structures we have in place, we can get we can have conversations about what do most students need, what do some students need, and how do we individually plan for students that need some individual support. So it allows us to accomplish all needs in a very systematic way.
And I think in MTSS, much like an umbrella of supports for that academic, that behavior, that social emotional need for our students, really under the work you talked about in October with character education. So as we talk about the history in the School District of Washington, this really isn't a new program, which you just shared. It has been in our district as interventions and as support before, but maybe a little bit different in each of our schools. What work have you done to bring MTSS into that aligned framework for the school district?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time last year really looking and seeing what supports did each building have. And then we said, okay, let's come up with a consistent decision-making model for when a student is telling us they need more help, whether that's through assessment data, whether that's through office referrals, whether it's through student or parent or teacher concerns. When we find out students need a little bit more support, let's have a process. Let's have a structure that looks the same from building to building to building. And I think that piece, that alignment piece, has been a really great next step that our district has taken. Another step that I just really think that our district is tackling right now is really making sure that we have solid tier two. So in an MTSS model, we often use the language tier one, which is what we give for all students. Mm-hmm. Tier two is when we have some targeted supports and we can focus on some skills that students might need, and we can focus on some targeted instruction that focuses on making sure that we're getting to those end of the year expectations. And then we talk about tier three, which is our students that need the more access to more interventions, more supports. And then when we have worked as a district, we have said, well, when would a student need tier two? And when would a student need tier three? And what resources do we have in each of those spaces that really match the student's learning need? So it's not good enough to say, here's a student that has a concern and this intervention is what we're doing. What we want to be able to say is, this is the specific concern that we have for this student, and this is the specific resource that helps support that learning need. So instead of moving from the generality of student need, we're getting into the specifics of, wow, Rachel might need a phonics intervention, so I have the phonics support of instruction that supports that student.
It's not just that Rachel isn't reading.
Right.
The struggle is, right now we can tell that the struggle is in phonics.
Right. And then having the structure and supports to be able to target exactly what, like, I would have needed as a student. And that is a really exciting conversation that we've been part of this year in various PLCs, where we've been able to say, wow, based on this multitude of data points, we can target, this is most likely what the student needs to be successful and to close a gap. And that's been a really, really great feeling of classroom teachers saying, wow, everybody in my class is getting what they need.
And part of those teacher conversations, you had mentioned PLCs. I'm going to clear up an acronym for our listeners, too: professional learning communities for our teachers. So the time that our teachers have to look at data, to use that data to drive instruction at the tier one level. But then you spoke just a few moments ago about the tier two and tier three needs of our students. Our tier two and tier three needs are really those interventions that we are talking about for our students, the intensity of those interventions based on the tier two and the tier three supports. What I appreciate about the framework is that those supports not only come in maybe potentially a change in resource, but it also potentially a change in structure, either more intense, more time, or smaller group setting based on those individual needs of students. Would I be correct in saying that?
Yeah, and I think that that's a great way that we get to review the supports that we put in front of students every day, right? Like, if we have a student in tier two and we are doing a phonics intervention 5 days a week for 20 minutes, and then we get to a spot where we're monitoring the student's progress, we can say, wow, that was what Rachel needed. Way to go, team. We have figured out how to support Rachel as a learner. Or we might say, you know what, Rachel might need some more intensive interventions. Let's adjust that to 30 minutes. Let's use a different resource. Let's move to pull out support with a reading specialist, right? We have options until we find what Rachel needs. And that's what really the system does for us. It allows us to say, this is what we did. Now we're monitoring progress and we're reviewing that progress. And do we need to shift something so Rachel does get what she needs as a learner?
And through all of this, it is about the individual needs of our students. You spoke many times about data, whether that's the data that's being collected to know what needs a student has or what skill gaps a student has or is struggling with. But you also spoke about data from a progress monitoring standpoint. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that data collection piece and what they may be seeing at home?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, the board approved a purchase called FastBridge, and that is the new assessment tool that we're using across the district. That assessment we are using three times a year, both fall, winter, and spring. And that's our way of monitoring growth over time. It's our way of seeing where kids are. But also what's great about the FastBridge assessment is it really drills down into skill specifics. It allows us to say, what pillar of literacy is Rachel needing instruction on? What domain of math is Rachel needing additional supports on? And so that's kind of how we're using FastBridge for that assessment. We're monitoring growth. We're saying, what skills do kids need instruction on? What do we need in the whole group setting? What might we need for interventions? But then also FastBridge has this incredible component. It is by far my favorite piece. It has a progress monitoring tool. And so those are usually 1 minute quick assessments that teachers can give to students that are in interventions that help us know, have we found what Rachel needs for instruction? It allows us to not ever go too far where we're not revisiting, or sorry, not too far, too far long, right? Like we don't, we want to have review conversations every 6 to 8 weeks. Is this what Rachel is needing? Is she benefiting from the instruction? Is she closing gaps and ultimately moving towards that grade level success? And with a progress monitoring tool, it's just really, really clear. We're saying, yes, we have found it, or no, we need to shift something. And that's a powerful conversation that we get to have now.
The powerful conversation comes in our goal to increase student achievement and support. And through the FastBridge assessment, through the professional learning communities of our teachers and those conversations, and then through the MTSS framework, we are able to close those gaps. We are able to help struggling students, and we are able to monitor progress. One of the pieces I appreciate with FastBridge is that it is nationally normed. So when a teacher receives information on a student, it's just not how they compare to students in their class, currently in their school, or even in the school district. It is about how they compare nationally and the growth that they are making with their like peers across the nation. What would parents see if they want to know where their child is at? What would they see at home that could give them some indication in English language arts, reading, and in math to show that progress that they would be receiving?
Yeah, so we really feel strongly that if we're giving an assessment, that our parents, they get to see those results and they get to know exactly how their child's performing. So that's why we are sending the FastBridge family report those three times a year. So really in the fall, you should have received a FastBridge family report that has how your child did on the assessments that were given. Because in FastBridge, they also account for developmental appropriateness. So the assessments we give a kindergarten looks different than the assessments that we would give an eighth grader. So it will reflect your child's learning. And on that paper, you'll see how they did in those national, compared to those national norms. But there's also a graph on there that tells you how your child has done over time.
That's great.
So this first report will look like a dot, but then come winter and spring, you'll see that growth over time for your child. We did link in on the show notes a FastBridge family report.
Wonderful.
And a video on how to read it so that families really feel comfortable with what's coming home.
And what grades would a parent expect to see FastBridge reports?
They should expect to see it kindergarten through eighth grade.
Okay. And on the FastBridge report, how will parents see that report differently than they would a grade card that they receive throughout the course of the year?
So skills and standards walk alongside each other, but we do have some students that, you know, could very well be in the classroom doing an excellent job, but maybe there's a skill that they need firming up on. They need some small group instruction to really close that gap. I always use myself as an example because as a student, I was a really, really hardworking student. And from a teacher's perspective, you wouldn't know how hard it was for me to read or write because I have some phonics gaps as a learner. And so I compensated for that. So we very well can have students that are doing great in the classroom with work towards standards, but might have some skill gaps that we could really firm up for them so that they're experiencing all the wonderful learning opportunities that they get to have.
You've talked several times about skill gaps, or we have talked about intervention for struggling students. Where does MTSS fall and support those enrichment needs that some students may need in the classroom also?
Absolutely, because as this works for our students that tell us they have some specific needs, learning needs, this also works for extensions. So we can use this data and almost have that same conversation, but on the reverse. What students in our classroom show us they need some additional enrichment, that they're already mastering these skills. How can we not only see where they are, but push them to all they can do in the classroom. And then similarly, so that would be like a tier two support, but similarly, we have our challenge program to meet that tier three on the enrichment side. So we get to use this information really the same way, but through the lens of how do we support students that are already telling us that they are meeting the standards, that they're meeting the skill expectations, and then we get to have the same conversations about how we support them individually as learners too.
And linked in the show notes is a visual of this work, not just that it is a triangle of support with the tier one, tier two, and tier three, but it's more of a diamond where on the other end are the supports for the enrichment of students as well. So listeners, you can check that out also. As we wrap up for the day, thank you so much for your expertise once again in this area with the MTSS framework and its implementation across the district. Is there anything that you would like to share as we conclude?
I just really would want to say that our teachers are doing incredible things for kids each and every day. And so one of my greatest joys has been walking into different spaces and hearing how well our teachers know our kids and how they're determined to meet every kid's needs, no matter where they are in the diamond, so that each kid graduates and gets to experience that success.
I would agree. Amazing teachers that use the data to drive that instruction individually for students and communicate that growth to parents, which we appreciate as we move forward with the partnership with our parents. So thank you for being here today, Mrs. Wilcox, and a big thank you to my fabulous CAPS broadcasting team today. And thank you to our listeners for partnering with us as we live out the School District of Washington mission to inspire achievement, character, and personal growth in all students as they pursue and succeed in college, careers, and life. Join us next time when we visit again with Mrs. Anderson for an overview of our district assessment data that will just be released from the state.
Check out the show notes, and don't forget you can connect with the district on Facebook, Twitter, at SD of Washington, and the website washington.k12.mo.us. And remember, Blue Jays,
rock on! Respect,
ownership,
commitment,
and kindness.